I stopped the song because I do not care. I stopped every song in this server because I'm Vostok.
Hello there, magical turtles! We are broadcasting from planet Earth. I am specifically broadcasting from a watered-down emulation of a human municipality in Metro Detroit, Michigan, known as Troy. I am Zachary Winchester, the Miatrical Chorgle. I'm a person who does things, and my co-host is broadcasting from, specify, I don't really know.
Some village in the mountains of Transylvania.
There you go. We have specified our location. And now, if the Illuminati wanted to seek us out and terminate our existence, or just meddle with our lives or livelihoods, or the livelihood that we wear at times. I have some really obnoxious hoodies that are multicolored and things. If they wanted to, you know, to fiddle with our clothing or with our animal parts, they could do so from afar because they are the Illuminati and they do as they choose. But what I want to discuss today is shit. Well, it's summoning the nonsense. There really isn't anything to discuss as of yet. I got stuff I could rant about right now, but I feel like we should just. Oh man, Vossa, do you have anything on point before I just go into tirades of the things that I've been contemplating lately?
I think that DC microphones are good if you use them in space.
DC microphones?
Yes.
I'm unfamiliar.
Well, this is the microphone that I'm using to communicate right now. And I think that
if I try a microphone that I will not name because then I would be advertising for it, but it is lovely and it is an orb. It is a circular spherical thing. I enjoy circular spherical things.
It's not a DC microphone. I'm an idiot. I don't know what kind of microphone I have, actually.
Wouldn't it be better if all of our appliances were spheres? Because then we could just roll them to one another or throw them and catch them, depending on how much they weighed and what they were made of. Like, I kind of just wish everything. Like, why do we normally have phones that are spherical? It wouldn't fit in your pocket very well. But it could also, you could just, it could roll, it could be magnetized to something in the back of your belt.
This is the future, man.
That is the future. That'd be a stupid future. That's stupid. Because in the woods, you would get trapped on a stick. I spend time in the woods. I was in the woods today. How often do you venture out into the woods?
Well, I'm in the woods right now, so it's difficult to respond.
You're in the middle of the woods, but you're in a house in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
Do you ever go as a person into the middle of the woods?
Yes, I go. I go every time. Every time ever, I get out of the house.
Do you ever fashion javelins and spears out of sticks that you find and then throw them?
I have a variety of home-built weapons for defense.
Defense against the Mongols, defense against the Illuminati.
Defense against the post-apocalyptic scenario of tribes coming to take my stuff.
See, that was and die and such. Especially the ones with the flying killer robot and whatnot. But this thing happens now, and there's just a whole hoopla. And now there was this whole talk about gun control in America, and now there are pressure cookers that are being used to hurt the turtles. And
pressure cookers.
You know, I harmed somebody with a Nerf gun when I was small because they would get dust in them, terrible. You know, the dust would accumulate on the, even though it was like this foamy ball that would never if it struck you in the sternum, it would not harm you. But I remember one time I fired it, hit my friend right in the eye with all the dust and shit, like it is eyeball. He was fucked for like a day. He was uncomfortable and hurt, and I felt terrible. But I don't feel like it was the Nerf gun. I feel like it was my decision to fire it in his eyes, and it was my decision to not, you know, you should clean your Nerf balls before you fire them at your cohorts. I don't want to talk about anything even sociopolitical at all. You know what? Okay, my friend was just mentioning a butt pill, and it got me on a line of thinking now. Because have you ever had to sneak something into anywhere rectally?
Well, until now, I have not been able to do that, and I didn't have any kind of thoughts to bring me to that sort of situation.
You haven't been able to, or you haven't? Most people are obligated. I don't feel like most people just like stuff their wallet in their ass just for
I did not find myself in a scenario where that was needed yet.
Yes, I mean, neither have I. I've kind of thought for a second that it would have been, you know, smart when I was going to take drugs on an airplane once. But really, no, I have not. But I'm actually, we have a guest here. We have a caller who actually has had to insert things into his anus to keep them safe in a situation. And that is Richard Globhook from Sussex, Indiana, is here.
Fantastic.
So, what was your experience with having to rectally insert said pill?
Experience.
For fuck's sake, man.
Well, I didn't rectally insert the pills. It was another man.
Oh, you were present for it.
I was proposed to take a pill that had been in a man's butt, which was strange.
Oh.
Seeing how I was locked in a room with said man, seemed like a bad idea at the time.
Was it sheathed, though?
It was sheathed. It was in a vial that was anally inserted. So I guess there's not direct fecal contact. It's just probably a bad idea, right? That's a general rule.
Oh, I feel like most things at some point were in a vial in someone's ass. I feel like there's less things that were just directly in someone's asshole and like kept there for an ordinary amount of time.
So you're saying the majority of things that have been rectally inserted have been sheets?
Most of the things that, yeah, if something is small enough, I assume that at some point somebody, unless it's right off the assembly line, I think that most people at some point have the inclination to rectally insert. Like most remote controls, that's where I draw the line as far as size. But when I'm at a friend's house, I automatically assume that at some point this was, you know, this was pressing up against their tailbone internally.
It's true.
In most cases, I think it is. I used to have a girlfriend who would anally insert ecstasy pills.
Yeah, really? It works?
Yeah, and I just realized now that I'm kind of... I always try to avoid, like, name call and, like, you know, saying someone's entire name whenever I'm doing anything publicly. And I've only had one girlfriend in my entire life, so if I ever say my girlfriend... I'm actually calling out a person, so I might as well say her name, home address, and social security number. I watched her put ecstasy pills in her asshole. Not like watched her insert them, but she went to the bedroom and came back. But I should have watched her. Now I'm having regrets about when I was 16 and I could have been present for something really interesting. I could have been like, I want to be. Yeah, we could have made a thing out of it. We could have. That's terrible.
It was her experience instead of both of yours.
Yeah, and there's a whole craze here in America, where the children are consuming alcohol via.
Oh yeah, I've heard of. I actually know a man who's done this, and apparently you get annihilated off of the smallest amount. It's something that poor booze hounds take too.
And the fucking the calories don't register, right? You're not consuming it orally, so.
It's just the alcohol is absorbed into the capillaries in your intestine.
But I hear that it's really bad because it isn't like there's sugary shit. Like you'd have to have
it's extreme. Alcohol. Well, it's supposed to be filtered before it gets to that point in your body. Yeah. So putting it directly in there is horrible. It's like drinking rubbing alcohol.
But you'd be drunk as fuck without the nausea, though. That sounds attractive to me. And I'm not trying to look for excuses to put things in my asshole. Like the most that's ever entered is the corner
You're
of a bar.
Convincing me.
Well, the corner of a bar of soap happened once. That was kind of an accident. And then one time I had somebody just tell me, like I had this person pretty much grill me about like, look, you are not an open-minded person and I don't like respect you intellectually unless you go home and fucking try at least see if you can derive any pleasure via this whole erogenous zone that many people, it's their, you know, one of two.
Well, some people are all about it.
Yeah, so I took it to heart. I was like, this person has a point. I'm somebody who goes around and says that I'm... you know, that I'm past the ideas of gender and you know, just a closed-minded thought as far as anything being wrong. And I have never even, I've always had fingers. That's one thing you're always faced with. You have phalanges, you have orifices. I mean, my fingers have entered every other orifice on my body. Of course, I've, you know.
Pick your nose.
Yeah,
you know,
pick things out of my mouth. Attempted to gag myself at times, and I didn't have like a stay with bulimia or anything like that. But there was a time where I took a thing that I then no longer wanted to be in my system, and I
threw it
out. Yeah, I think it was an alcohol drug. I think I probably did too many alcohol drugs and wanted it out. I know there's been times that I've a time at least that I forced myself to vomit. Ears, obviously, it occurs at some point. Never in my urethra. That's terrible that people even insert things like that. But I'd say every other orifice, and then it was just like. This person just was grilling me, like, sure, you're wrong. And I was like, maybe you've got a point. So I at least attempted, and I don't think I will again. It was really, really awkward experience, and no one else was even there to see it, but it was still awkward. Like, I was embarrassed alone. I was embarrassed.
Sitting there awkward alone. Because it's a weird feeling.
I failed it. Like, I just made it so... And I remember it was, like, I was watching a Sasha Gray video. I can remember the one. I'll always remember the video to this day. Because I was fucking knuckle deep in my ass trying to search for this fucking thing that everybody has said. Like, milk your prostate, bro. It's fucking great. So many people have told me. Dudes have told me this. Dudes and I mean, I've had more dudes express to me this prostate milking thing than females. I've only had that would have been a terrible pun. I've only had like four females open up to me about anal, but no, but I only like, and they weren't people that I was having sex with. It was just people that I, you know, inquired And I've had girls give me the rant as well about these things. It's just a strange thing. I wonder what the metaphor of that is sociopolitically, that everyone has the capacity.
Genital shit coming out of Erie, Pennsylvania, which is now a town that exists in Pennsylvania.
It's true.
We are genital shit!
I mean, there's a band called Anal Cunt. And they're revered. Vaso, you ever been into metal?
I was a metalhead between the ages of 16 and 18. Yes.
You strike me as a metalhead. Your image.
Well,
not like your default picture of the green neon cat. But he looks pretty fucking metal too. No, but I imagine that you enjoyed metal at some point. What kind of shit like
bands and stuff?
What kind of shit like death metal?
I didn't went into the grindcore stuff. You know, I just thought that was very pathetic in general. It was funny though, but pathetic. You know, like that's I wouldn't call that art. I was more about, you know, stuff that had singing inside of it, even if it sounded aggressive. So,
what do you mean you wouldn't call it art though, because of the thing where they're obsessed with the breakdowns and shit?
No. I just think it's stupid to intercalate this form of, you know, faking that you are a creature with you, which you are not.
I do that a lot. I do that all the time.
No. Faking it and doing serious, like acting like it is serious. Like some people are, I sing in a folk metal band. You know, like how can you associate two things like that and really call yourself super?
Well, I think it's okay. I have friends that do the demon voice. I've got a demon friend named Batman who definitely does the demon voice in a band called Scorn Beauty. And it's very lovely, you know? It's its own thing. And it's a thing that I used to be all about metal and used to be the fucking song of my heart, like when I was an angsty, angry person. But now it's just a thing that I really only enjoy it live now. And I enjoy my friend's band with Scorn Deity live. I also enjoy the aspect of, there's my friend that, you know, we take bong rips together and have little pet names for each other. And there's this fucking dude up there doing, I'll fight you in the night and fuck you till you love me, die young. You know, just fire in the woods, burn the woods to the goddamn ground, die!
There are some people that like to listen to pagan metal and they are serious about it. They're like, I can feel the ancient symbols through this song. It is full of meaning. But, you know, what I say is that it has nothing in common with the actual folklore that they are trying to represent with those yellings, basically. You know, it's nothing authentic about it. It's just
I don't knock it, man. I you know, this is one of the first times that I thoroughly disagree with you. I think that they're I don't think it's any different than I do really absurd things where I summon things into existence in my mind, and I'm not apologetic about it at all. You know, I'm a magical turtle. I'm a wizard. I'm a sorcerer. I'm a Jedi, and I am just a lazy, often confused Jedi that forgets that it is in control of the my entire experience. This whole being a human enterprise is actually something that I am customizing with every moment, and I forget that sometimes and act like an asshole. But you know, I maintain that there's a, you know, that we're at the helm of our existence. Is that necessarily something that I think is objectively true? I don't think anything is. What the fuck is objectivity? That whole fucking thing. I don't fucking know. But I like. I'm finding that I can play again. I'm 24 now, and I never completely stopped, but I can really play like I did when I was a kid. Like, I can go out in the woods and make up a scenario and fucking play. No drugs involved. Look, Ma, no drugs. I'm playing in the woods. I'll climb a tree, and I'll fucking I'll just be entirely in my own head doing
make
all sorts
bird
of
salt. Bird salts.
Bird salts? Is this the new thing the kids are doing? They make you fly and eat someone. Just fucking swoop down, pick somebody up with your talons, take them up in your tree, and fucking.
I don't know, but sounds. You're making bird sounds when you are climbing the trees.
Ah! Yo, yeah, absolutely. Kudo, kudo, kudo. I make ridiculous sounds because I like to think about how the animals are reacting to it. And they're, you know, people say they're not self-aware, but I think that they have moments. What the fuck was that? What are these fucking, what the fuck? You know, there's millions of frogs, maybe not millions, but hundreds of thousands of frogs were mating in this little.
I can communicate with frogs.
That's amazing. I can communicate with reptiles, mainly lizards, turtles, of course. But there was all these frogs fucking. There was this massive frog orgy in this little geological thing that I can't name what this is when there's a swamp that is the runoff of a lake. So, moment of honesty, I don't know what that is when there's a swamp that is, you know, part of a little ravine from the lake. It's this nature center by my house. But anyway, in this place that is very conducive for frog orgies, there was an orgy. There was a frog fuck! There was a
festival.
Huge fucking that was going on. They were all, it was massive. Everybody was getting, there was just dicks and everything. I don't even know how they do stuff, but there was just every orifice. You could hear from the sounds, you can imagine that every frog orifice was being thoroughly filled and
yes,
tended to. It was yeah, all in unison. They were all coming in unison. And I went over and climbed a tree near them, and I went,
"Bro, yo, 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 go, hey, every yo, 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 hello, a soldier, hello,
and just made ridiculous noises for a while. And I was just thinking, like, I don't mean to be a dick. Like, I don't think that this is interrupting anything. I think they're all.
So what happened?
They continued. They all, they carried on. They didn't really even seem to mind or it didn't register at all. They were just, I mean, they were into it. They were into it.
I can summon frogs. Like, when is the frog season, I can do, like, frog sounds and they just come to me. Like the females. Yes.
That's awesome.
I can summon. I'm the frog summoner. And I make this frog sound, you know.
Do you have access? I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I feel like this is important with this line of speak. Do you have access to psilocybin mushrooms where you live via natural? Like naturally, can they just?
Yes. Well,
see, that is a lovely thing that I technically do. It's just one of those. It's laziness. There's just I should go out and acquire these things from the actual earth around my house. I think there's something important, some hippie sorcery that's going on with if you. You know, ingest the magic mushrooms of
no,
your...
No, do not ingest. You need to prepare it first.
Yes, yes, of course. I'm not going to pick them from the shit and immediately chew them.
You will die like an idiot if you don't prepare it the proper way. There is only one way.
I was unaware of this. Yes. I've always just been given my mushrooms in illegal drug form, which is so funny. You know, like in America, if you get caught with them and they're wet, like if they're... Okay, if they're on the shit, like if you have a cow pie in your hand and so you have this disc of shit and there's mushrooms growing out of it that entirely, you know, could be picked and dried and eaten, you are not against the law. You're just a fucking weirdo walking around with shit. Okay? If you have the wet mushrooms in your hand picked from the shit, technically you're still just a weirdo and you may be up to no good and the cop may say, you better not dry those out or whatever. But I do know that it becomes illegal when it is contained within something or in their dried out form, you cannot have them. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's
these
just...
cows shit a drug. They shit a thing that aids our evolution. Mushrooms are the one thing that I cannot. Everybody should do mushrooms. Even if you're a psychotic person, you should do mushrooms somewhere where you're safe and alone. You know, maybe not necessarily safe, where you're safe and maybe surrounded by people who are going to help you. I don't know. I think that everybody should experience that introspective fucking roller coaster from Jesus Christ. I don't see how anybody could come out of that not a little bit with a little bit more understanding of this whole enterprise. I mean, it is a confusing and often rocky experience. But my God, afterwards, I am just like existentially humbled. And I feel like everybody that I've ever been around, it's just afterwards, you're just like, wow, I both understand what I'm involved with now and I have less of anything that could possibly resemble a clue of what the fuck is going on. Maybe I should be nicer today. I don't know. I just feel like that. What's the stoned ape theory, Terrence McKenna? Like I feel that makes just it resonates as a thing that makes sense and could be true. That, you know, there were primates, and so we got thumbs, and maybe it was past when we had some, you know, people had their little gardens of, our things that we can eat for fuel tend to grow out of this area of the ground if we, you know, keep it from, I don't know, maybe there was some agriculture going on, or maybe it was before all that, and this is what stemmed it. But I think it makes a lot of logical sense that at some point there was a monkey of sorts that consumed psilocybin mushrooms and thought, maybe there's more to it than eating and fucking. Maybe once my belly is full and my biological purpose has been expelled, coming is
actually. Have you ever seen a movie called, an American movie called Over Sex Drug Suckers from Mars?
No, but I will now, soon.
Yes, it is about vacuum cleaner that has its own consciousness and rapes people and all kinds of other shit.
Well, that sounds like a title that I will need to acquire immediately.
Yes,
I love... It's funny that how bad art... There's a threshold where it crosses over into the most beautiful thing ever, you know?
Yeah,
like, there's stuff that just sucks because it's trying to be good, and then there's things that it within the piece admits that it sucks and is just brilliant, like Troll 2. Troll 2 is... I'm sure you've seen Troll 2. You're an internet person.
I see all the American movies.
It's a brilliant, brilliant film. It is just repulsively bad, and you just cannot help but laugh the entire time. It is just amazing.
I even saw Bad Biology with the giant cock that has its own consciousness and goes outside and does stuff. And there is also a woman who has the same problem. She has a monster inside her vagina, basically, and she kills people. She fucks them and kills them at the same time. And then the cock and the vagina meet each other, and it's such a happy ending.
This has been a very genital heavy episode of Summoning the Nonsense, and I feel the need to reiterate that I've been alive 24 years. The only things that I quote unquote no, or the things that I think are just from my own meandering observations. I'll be using that phrase a lot in the future. I think that's the best way of saying it. Meandering observations, the things that I have happened upon through wandering around on the planet and observing and analyzing stuff. Now I feel like I have a hypothesis. I'm by no means sure of it. It gets rocked and changed every day, but I feel like I feel confident saying that I think that that genital stuff and gender and human fuckery, human sexuality, as it were, is a massive metaphor for everything else. Just like breathing, and then, you know, because when you breathe, you're breathing in a million dick particles, and then it's like the constant respiratory thrust of I just ruined breathing for everyone, but.
Yes,
but you know, there's like this metaphor of in and out that everything is doing that. Yes. Everything, is.
Even the universe, even the particles at the subatomic level. You know, the neutrons and protons just fuck with each other.
Ugh, it's everywhere. So I think if you understand that metaphor and you realize that you can save the world via your own episodes of human fuckery to some degree, there's definitely a little fractal pattern thing going on here with the stuff that we do and the way the world reacts to it. Yeah. I don't know. I think that a lot of people will find that if you work shit out with your family, which is a difficult, difficult thing to do, Jesus Christ, that some people have ridiculous situations with their family that it's almost difficult to believe that it'll ever be resolved before we all just die and the next generation is left with their own weirdo situation. But I think that if you were to solve the stuff with your family, and yes, I mean both your nuclear family and the entire planet, because that's what I'm saying, then you'll see that you will have then saved the world by, you know, having a 20-minute phone call with your old mom. You know, maybe that's what the whole planet needs to do, is talk to their mother. And now I'm sounding really hippie because, yes, I'm saying Mother Nature and stuff. But you know that I'm a sarcastic, smarmy asshole, and I would never endorse anything that was hippy-dippy in nature. I'm not about that life, but you live in a giant fractal pattern thing, and you need to call your mom. Anyway.
Mommy.
Mommy. Oh, there's this thing that I found on the internet. Well, a friend referred it to me. We were talking about, like, people's self-conscious, self-defeating perception of themselves physically, cosmetically. How people, you know, you always think that you're the ugliest. You know, you think, most people think critically of themselves more than anybody else. Well, there's narcissists as well, but I know a lot of turtles who don't think their shell is very aesthetically pleasing. And it seems to be a thing, a part of the human condition, that we're most critical of ourselves. And we were talking about this, and he referred me to this song. He was like, well, I used to, you know, think things like that until I found this thing. Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen. It's a speech by Buzz Lumen on this. And there's music put to it. And there's this lovely lady singing, which I forget her name, but it's very, very good. I think her first name is like Ingrid or something. But it's really beautiful thing. It's called Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen. And I really, really like it a lot. And if you search it on YouTube, Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen, you'll probably want to call your mom like right after it. In fact, I was with Richard the other day, who just told the butt pill story, and he immediately called his mother. You know, and I feel like that's like a symptom of this thing happening to you. You know, when you like realize like, oh my god, I've just been, it's just like the mushrooms. It's an existentially humbling thing. It's like, holy shit, I'm just a little turtle trying to do what I can while I'm alive.
I have no problems with my image. I think I look epic. And everything about myself is epic.
That's very, very good. That's very, very, at least that, I mean, it's a good working theory to have. I personally myself am on the exact opposite spectrum of that. I am a very self-defeating, self-depreciating human being. But I am smarmily at times. Within my own mind, there are moments where I'm like, I'm not that bad. I don't need to be, you know. But there's other times where I look in the mirror and I'm like, kill it with fire, kill it with fire. You know? And that's most of the time. But I'm not complaining at all. That is a thing that keeps me going a lot.
I don't know. Actually, I go from times to times. It's not like I have a fixed opinion on myself. Sometimes I think I'm epic. Sometimes I think I'm a shit.
But I mean, I felt like a shit. I feel like a shit after I fucking jerk off three times a day, and when I'm staring at the third one.
Ah.
I'm just like, you know, third unnecessary load. That
do
just
you have enough energy? For the three times, you have enough energy. I heard about people who do it like 20 times, but I can only do it once because I can feel how it drains and it sucks my energy. I don't like that. I want to
it does, man. It's your zinc. It's your, oh my god, it's like the artistic drive. It's the metaphor for fuckery, once again, is that creating art and creative energy is sexual energy. It's the same fucking, it like, after, I could have a head full of ideas and just want to fucking put pen to paper and just create fucking art, god damn it. I always just want to just fucking lay waste to some blank screens with the keyboard and some blank notebooks and just turn that shit into something that will forever exist as a thing forever and for anyone who can find it to enjoy, you know. And I like that. I like the idea. Not everyone feels compelled to do that, but I love that whole enterprise. Is something that I really enjoy, the making of art and the spewing of it. But I could come home in that mentality and just know that this shit is going to just fly out of me. And then if I get distracted by just a picture or a thought, I'm jerking off. And then once it is expelled, that art will not be made. I will just lay down and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm just a turtle and kind of a shameful one.
That's
and even with fuckery too, like after fucking a person, I find that there's a different thing because I've just expelled my zinc and my like creative energy, but at the same time, I'm so happy and I feel so proud that, you know, usually I can come up with some really good shit right after fucking a person.
Yes.
you know?
The smell of a woman is so... I don't know. So...
Well, the ones you like. The ones you like are just, like, firing every pheromone that you've ever sought. It's fucking... there's times, like, I always make the argument that there's, you know, there... The ones that I am attracted to, the ones that I that magnetize me, the ones that fucking they can do nothing that is repulsive in any way. You know, it's just like how you're the penguins. You don't fuck each other. You know, they don't inbreed because they're disgusted by the scent of their own siblings and parents and whatnot, you know, like, you know, you're not going to fuck them. Well, you're not supposed to fuck your parents and anything. I don't know. I think, you know, your siblings will smell particularly bad to you. And that's not the only thing stopping me from fucking my sister. I don't want to fuck my sister at all. Ew, gross. That just even the idea. I mean, I'm inappropriate just for bringing up. It's terrible. And that is the norm. but the ones that are not my siblings and the ones that meet my strange and undescribable criteria of what is cosmetically attractive, when I find one of those, I just want to devour all of them. After they could just have run a marathon, no reference there at all. Although everything is an accidental reference, I suppose everything is a metaphor. But they could have just, you know, hiked in the mountains for 2 days and not showered. I just want to devour them if there's a certain level of attractiveness where there's just no concept of you're dirty. You're capable of being dirty. No, it's just if I that means I love them. That means I love you.
Ah,
we were just talking the other day about
that is the confirmation. Anyway, yes. Monica in the chat room agrees with all this stuff.
What? That when you meet, when you're really, really attracted to somebody, you just want to devour them.
With everything, she just makes these analogies with light and spreading the light more and more and stuff.
Spread the light, yo.
Yeah. Then she says it is actually very nice to observe. I don't know what she's talking about, but yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
Somebody just sent me a link for some Ellen DeGeneres thing, like something that she's putting on as a... I mean, I guess I'd send in for it. I'm at a point right now as far as my thoughts about media, entertainment, and whatnot, that there's nothing that is everybody's doing their thing. You know, like, I'm saying this terribly. When I was a teenager, there were so many things that I was like, fuck that. I will never participate in that. I will never associate with those fucking people. Fuck them. They're the problem, and I'm going to let them know by boycotting their existence as if they're like, oh, we don't have... You know, I wasn't a magical turtle then, but we don't have the Squirtle who has not yet evolved yet into War Turtle, which is where I feel like I'm at now. I'm a War Turtle. Whoa, there's a Pokemon analogy for my life.
War Turtle.
Not quite a Blastoise. When I become a Blastoise, you'll fucking know because I'll blast you with stuff. Good stuff. But anyway, I was a little asshole when I was a teenager, and there were so many things that I would just shunned because they were wrong. Now there's really nothing. Like, I'd hang out with the Westboro Baptist Church tomorrow. Like, I disagree with them. I make fun of them, mostly their faces. I wouldn't really try to do the debate thing with Shirley Phelps. I would just be like, you're a ridiculous turtle. Yes, tell me more. Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. That's really good. That's great. Because I think those people advance evolution. I think that they're so inflammatory and they're so easy to hate that they create a situation where people come out with a better understanding of why that they are upset with people like that. And people analyze their faith when they see Westboro Baptist Church. They think, we're that? They're Christians? That's what we're... Because they're interpreting the Bible in their own stupid way, but they're interpreting it. They're saying this is what it's saying. That's what the Big Red Book is saying, that you should hate people as adamantly as we do. But the funny thing is that, you know, they say they're so hateful and whatnot, but they don't get violent. And that's really, you know, anything that as long as there's a group that says, but we don't do violent stuff, because, you know, they're all lawyers and such. It kind of just makes them this thing that is causing some meaningful conversations to happen. Some really, you know, unneeded conversations happening, like the fact that they picket military funerals. I mean, everybody. I mean, it's disgusting. That's fucking gross. Like, I mean, personally, I have my own ideas of what
a soldier is. I mean, to be completely intellectually honest, I mean, I have friends that are soldiers, and I have to maintain in my mind, because it's what I really believe to be true, is that, you know, soldiers of our volunteer military, I'll go with what I know, which is America, are, you know, victims in my mind. They're, you know, you're told that you're going to go and do a thing that is substantive and is helping, but really you're being signed up to be, to some degree, part of a problem. I don't know. But sometimes they do great things when they're over there. I've heard really great stories of instances within these criminal wars where they're really helping somebody, where they liberated a village or something, or they, you know, saved somebody's life who was innocent, who was about to be exploited and killed by the bad folk. But then there's the argument that we created the bad folk. I don't know. That's not my department anymore, knowing the facts of stuff like that. But, you know, I would never, ever say shame on anyone for most, I'd say a good 80% of folks who join our volunteer military do so because they think they're doing something reputable. And many of them go and do reputable things. I also know people who return and they, you know, fired into crowds and shit. And they talk about it. And most of them kill themselves. Wow, we just went to a really heavy place.
All people in Romania, when they go to the military, they just say stuff like, well, I go there because they pay me good and I don't care about everything else. I think politics is shit and all these wars are useless, but I have to make a living. So,
you know. It's a lot of our folk, too. I know somebody who pretty much was given the decision of jail or the military, and they did the latter. And it makes sense, you know? And I know a lot of folks who are, you know, set for life from it. And I know a lot of folks who really completely just got fucked by it, and their brains will never be the same. And they definitely just got military industrially complexed on.
They yeah, like psychologically molested.
Yeah, yeah, and psychologically molested, and their physical vessel is now a thing that they have to look at their hands and be like, well, I did things with these. That, it wasn't my decision, but I mean, I don't mean to disrespect them at all. There's, once they're there, once you're over there and you're in that situation, it's just about defending your buddies, you know? That's what everybody will say. Once you're over there, there's no thought of politics. Is this war right? Are people protesting it back home? Like, I give a fuck, you know? It's like, we're here now. There are people with guns who are trying to kill us. There's bombs everywhere and shit. These friends that I'm surrounded with now could be blown apart at any moment, myself the same. Let's get home alive. Let's do what we must to get home. And that's all it is. That's what it becomes. And there is nothing wrong with somebody trying to survive in that situation. I have to maintain, though, that it is a shame that people find themselves in that situation, because in this age, I think there is a strong and growing argument that it is no longer necessary.
Right.
But to do the country thing, to do the fucking the teams, the tribes, it's fucking silly.
Yeah, we're way beyond that. We're just one race on fucking Earth, on the planet Earth. Yeah. And countries are obsolete in this new form of existence, and people, the sooner the people realize that, the better. That does not mean that we must become one world order, you know, because that would make the possibility for a psychopath to take the lead of the planet, which we do not want. So the better the diverse nation exists, the better it is for our future. The point is just to be at peace with each other and accept our different cultures, accept everything else, you know, and stop centralizing things, you know, centralizing corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always go back to saying that this is my prediction, but it's really just my ultimate hope. This is the best my mind has concocted for a possible future scenario. As far as what happens with governments and trying to, you know, make civilization more civil via regulation, which, you know, it really, I cannot say that I'm an anarchist, man. When I go out, when I'm in a large crowd situation, especially when there's alcohol involved, I very, very quickly, there's no doubt in my mind that, God, I'm glad that we have some kind of system where there's going to be where I can call people that will come, that is, you know, it has been made their job and duty to resolve situations where there is somebody doing a thing that I don't endorse, that I, you know, don't think humans should do to one another. Maybe they're doing it to me, and you know, I have the choice to, instead of having to fucking kill that person or attack them physically, which there are times where there are possible scenarios where I would see it fit for, wow, somebody needs to fucking kill this person before they're fucking killing everybody. Like, this needs to, but I'm glad that's not my department and that there's folks. I mean, that maybe that could be done without a government, but like, no, there'd just be too many factions. There'd be too many, I don't know. I think that concept may be here to stay. That there's, cause I'm just talking about law enforcement right now, but like, I don't know, man, fucking, I don't think that it's a thing that's going away, that there will be instances of somebody who's just, their circuitry malfunctions and they, get it into their head that maybe I should take as many of these motherfuckers down with me as possible. And I think there should be something in place that, sees to it that, they're not that successful in having a high number before they remove themselves from the equation. And that there being something in place that removes those people from, it's not even really a person that you're removing. It's a unfortunate unfolding of thoughts and events. I don't think that's going away, and I'm glad that I don't have to be a vigilante to stop it, or that it's not anyone's duty to fucking just as an individual entity go and stop people who are doing that. I think there should be vigilantes, though. I'm so down for real life superheroes. Those people are awesome. I wish they did more. I wish more of them actually risked prison to be people that went out and really fucked up the scumbags in the act, you know?
Yeah, well, the real life superheroes don't really do stuff like that. They're more into charity and helping the homeless people.
That is true. That is true. That is true. But I do an anti-hero Punisher Boondock Saints scenario. Like, if you, the first Boondock Saints movie, are you familiar?
I am not familiar with that production, no.
That is okay. You have told me a beautiful movie that I'm going to go watch. The thing with the fucking
Oversexed Rocksuckers from Mars.
Okay, you told me of this film, which I'm sure is I will claim highly. I'm going to tell you of a Boondock Saints, the first one, very important. The second one's kind of, but the first one really, it resonates as true. There's that word resonate again. You watch it and you think like, yeah. Some people, just a few good and brave souls who are experts of this, should get together and just for the situation we have now. I don't see this as a persistent thing. I think we're evolving past this. But we still live in a world now where violence is occurring. And if it's the innocent or the scumbaggery that's perpetrating it, I would prefer the bullet-ridden bodies at the end of the day be the douche canoes. So, This movie just it had the whole scenario that unfolds is it ends up being these two brothers and their father at the end become vigilantes to the utmost degree. They're just we're gonna go out and we're just gonna whack the worst people. We're just gonna fucking
what was the title again of this?
Boondock Saints.
And
there's personal things involved as well with the people that they're after to a small degree because it's their city and you see the movie. But in general terms, I don't know if there were people who were hyper moral and very, even though, you know, violence is immoral. I've spoken this before. I'm not for violence, but I still do live in a world now where there are folks who are trying to get you. And I'd really prefer them to be talked out of it. I'd really, you know, prefer this to resolve itself in that way, but it just, you know, that's kind of unrealistic hippie talk in some situations. There are some folk out there who the world has made them callous and hard and twisted their agenda in a way that is, you know, it's just, it's parasitic and needs to be fucking stopped.
It's and, basically, you know, cancer, you know, just like everyone like, has cancer in their body, you know, basically it is a cell that it's dark and it tries to corrupt the other cells step by step until it actually self-destroys itself. And it does not realize that by proceeding so, it will destroy the whole mechanism, because that's how cancer works. And I think that's the same in the real life, you know, only real life as in macro, okay. Yeah, one step like on our level when we are the cells, you know, we the humans are the cells, and if, you know, maybe we can stop cancer in this scenario, or maybe it will be the same, or maybe, I don't know what's going to happen. But
what do you think about anti-hero vigilantism of, what if there was a group of folks that got together that were hyper moral, like really, really into
like Zen masters.
We're going to do the right thing, and they meticulously analyzed and observed and researched the fuck out of certain individuals, and then once they deemed them to be truly parasitic and just This is a person that wakes up and hurts all day, you know? And, you know, we've had the talk about evil before. I had a really, really great internet thread about evil a little bit ago. And we pretty much come down to the conclusion that, you know, people do bad things. It is with the lack of understanding of good.
It's not really their fault.
You know, it rarely is. It's usually somebody, I mean, like Hitler was pretty much just a sad little boy who grew up to be an angry, bitter asshole, and then was put in a situation of power. And yeah, you can just look at some of the footage of him when he's like, you know, petting a dog or fucking kissing a baby. He's like a happy, jovial, but deeply sad and broken creature. You know, there's just he never looks like he's completely confident, really. Even when he's giving the speeches and whatnot, he's got the flow of energy of fucking millions of people in front of him, all just egging him on. Yes, yes, this is what needs to be said. This is what needs to be done. You know, of course, in that moment, you're going to see somebody, you know, seeming pretty godlike. But in moments where he's just filmed and he's not in you know, Fuhrer mode, you can see it in his eyes. He's like, he's a thing to be sympathized for. Not sympathized as in how I put a bullet in his brain. Of course, I think that, you know, anyone would put in the situation in Time Machine or now. You know, I had a friend trying to make the argument that he faked his death, but you know, you see something like that, you have to remove it from the equation. It's not stopping. I mean, it would be better, I guess, to give a Hitler intervention where he then cries punishment. A lot of people are really big on punishment. And I don't know how I feel about it yet. I haven't really made my mind up about that. When somebody does a bad thing, do they have to now? Does the suffering need to be? Because what if you? I'm not giving Hitler public service. You know, like he's gonna have to do community service or anything like that to make up for his wrongs. That's absurd. This conversation is absurd. But you know, I think it is better that if a criminal is caught and that the punishment be something, your punishment is to do good now. You know, I think there just should be more things like, I don't know, not really like a chain gain type of situation. Obviously, you don't want to put them in a situation where they're going to be able to hurt more people. But I don't know, I think we should put our, the dangerous people that need to be locked away forever, I think they should be working. They should be knitting. They should be knitting beautiful Afghans and quilts.
Yeah, that would be a solution.
Okay, but with the thing with the vigilantes, I'm in rant mode again. I'm going to try to be more succinct here. I'm working on this as a speaker and a communicator, both in life and on these. So there's these group of vigilantes, and they meticulously, methodically, with hyper morality, being just, I can't stress that enough. These people really are very most concerned of being right and only doing it if it's necessary. They look into someone. They profile someone. And they ultimately pass judgment that this needs to be removed. You know, I think I'd be for it. I think I'd be I'd also be, you know, obviously it's then law enforcement's job to seek them out and try to punish them. But if they were captured, I would be the one picketing at their at their, you know, trial, being like, these people did nothing but good. You know, you can't punish them in the same way you did somebody. They were trying to help in a way that society doesn't allow right now. But I don't know. There's some people that kind of need to be removed, man. And it's just see it all the time. I see it. Like on the streets. I don't encounter people.
Removal doesn't solve problems, my friend. Removal only enhances the problem because it makes cancer mad, so it multiplies more. You know. So
you're
talking
about Hitler intervention, then. So you're saying Hitler intervention?
I'm saying about you know, when you actually decide to remove someone, to kill someone, you know, that actually, you know, it makes them mad and they multiply and it becomes worse.
Okay, so what's the alternative then? Allowing it to run rampant or just confining it and punishing it? Because I think that confining somebody is fucking arguably more barbaric than killing them. God, putting someone
if I was in a cell, I don't know. I could take advantage of that situation and start getting more knowledge, like reading philosophy books and biology and history and everything, you know, just starting to read a lot, because in this, when I'm free, I'm actually, you know, I'm doing all these idiotic things, and I don't really have any time for getting knowledge, real knowledge for myself. I'm just too distracted by consumerism, basically.
Do I have to give an example? I don't like giving living examples of things that exist. But I don't know. I think I can get you to agree of this. And I'm always try to be as staunchly anti-violence as possible. But lately, I've been trying to think with both sides of my brain and just consider the possibility that I may live in a situation where things are so complex that even to have a generalization of the morality of force is too much of a generalization.
Force creates dictators, so it's not good.
Yeah, but okay, man, if somebody busts into the place that I'm in right now with a melee weapon and starts fucking destroying my friends who are in the living room right now, probably taking bong rips and playing video games, okay? They're just trying to fucking enjoy a fake scenario of murder. You know, they're fucking, you know, playing a first person shooter and all laughing and having a good time and taking bong rips, and this person comes in, this stranger bursts through, and he has a lead pipe or something, and he starts bashing them, and I come out there and see one of my friends being destroyed. I'm gonna pick up a barbell and launch it at the perpetrator's skull, and I do not see that as immoral in that situation at all. If it's a situation of the innocent are about to be destroyed, or the clearly enraged and dangerous is about, I don't know, if I fucking, that's force, right? That's force. That's not saying, hey, stop, you're killing all of my friends. Stop it, Magical Giorgio, please. I'm just going to fucking do my best. Or maybe I'll be I haven't been put in that situation. Maybe I'll go into flight mode and I'll just escape. You know, I don't know. I would like to think that I would crush the person's skull. And then maybe even go into some crazy primitive fucking trance where there's a bit of overkill. I've wondered about that in times. Like, if I was ever put in a situation where it was justified for me to hurt another creature, which is, thank Christ, it has
like,
me.
Like in Mortal Kombat, like fatality.
Yeah, I wonder if I would pull someone's heart out and take a bite in that situation. Maybe not that extreme, but like maybe I'd fucking, you know.
I think that's natural. You see, that's why I have constructed my own melee weapons to defend myself from a post-apocalyptic scenario where tribes might attack me.
But okay, but I'm talking about defense. I'm talking about a bunch of people who are actively seeking out to
anyway,
remove
your example
those
is
that
different.
Are in the process of hurting.
Your example is different, my friend. You know.
Okay, I know. I'm not talking about their. Okay, they're not knocking at their door.
You said
they're
about
not knocking at your door right now. You're right.
Wait.
What is this? This Rothschild character that keeps being brought up. I have not.
Rothschild.
I have not fully researched as much as I should.
Rothschild family were the ones who founded both sides in many wars because they owned the World Bank or something like that.
But the extent of, because I it's always so cute whenever there's an intelligent human that think that they found the culprit of all of Earth's problems, you know?
Well, they are just businessmen, you know? They like to conquer. They basically control the money, you know, the world. So, you know, the banks, the other smaller banks respond to those guys. So, you know. But that doesn't mean that they dictate the world. They just give states money, give the banks money, and they make more money because of the interest the loans that they give away. So they get more rich. So, for example, the problem is when you put a country in debt, you know, you put it in debt, and many are starving because of that debt, and the economy in that land is destroyed. And these guys get the interest and get richer and richer, and countries get poorer and poorer. So that is the problem.
What do you want? You know, at a certain point, what is more wealth, more monetary wealth, going to do? There's a certain point where there was a dude who flew over us at the disc golf course today in a helicopter, and I was told, oh, that's this rich dude who has a nice little palatial estate with a helipad on it. And he goes for a little helicopter ride. And I was like, that is fucking awesome. You know, that is awesome to have your own personal transportation as a helicopter. I can't knock that. You know, there's some situations like that where I think, well, maybe it's kind of neat that we have a capitalistic situation where there's the ability to climb to the level where, you know, most folks don't have a helicopter. I do, because I work my ass off. The saddening thing is that in my country, at least, well, I'm sure this is prevalent everywhere. There's just mostly it's nepotism that gets people in those situations of insane wealth. You know, the actual top 1% in America that, you know, everyone else's income is a joke compared to theirs. Everybody else's dealings in the monetary system is just a joke compared to this 1% that just has fucking everything. And those people, almost all of them, are just entirely nepotized. You know, there's situations like Bill Gates and folks like that who broke in to that upper echelon of wealth. But
we're getting to the top of the hour, my friend. What would you like to say in the end of this fantastic broadcast?
Well, I'll answer the one question that was posed on the interwebs. My friend Wiggs asks, if you were a magical turtle from space, what percentage of the time would you hide in your shell? I feel like this is a deeply metaphorical question. Although I should stop fucking saying that. I feel like that, yeah, I'm going to stop saying that something is deeply, everything is fucking metaphorical. Okay, today we discussed that everything is a metaphor for fucking everything. From now on, when I speak, just be in on that, I'm usually referring, it's a triple entendre, usually, of stuff that is being said. But if I was a magical turtle from space, which I am, what percentage of the time would I hide in my shell? Am I hiding in my shell right now? I would say no, because even though there certainly aren't 87,000 listeners right now, there are a select few, and they fucking matter to me, and they are the people, you know. So this broadcasting right now is the decision to come out of the shell and to be an exposed turtle, right? Or at least it's an attempt to be social, I would say. As we're hiding in my shell, I feel like the days I hide in my shell are the days I don't leave home. I don't do anything that really communicates that much. I just fucking jerk off. And by jerk off, I mean either actually jerk off.
Very, very good way of ending the show.